Being Christian is really easy. And being a Christian is really hard. Yes, it is both. It's really easy in this way. It's so simple. This passage from 1 John says it. What does God command? What can we do to please God? Believe in Jesus and love one another. That's it. Faith and love. This is the true Christian religion. Most important is faith. To confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the result of that faith is to love your neighbor. It is the essence of Christian faith, regardless of all divisions and flavors of denomination, doctrine, tradition, worship style, and so forth. Now, do I believe our Lutheran doctrine is correct? Do I like our worship style? Yes. But when you get right down to it, what really makes a Christian is believing in Jesus and loving others. Why is it that you keep coming back here week after week? We need to have this same message repeated to us. We need to have our hard, sinful hearts constantly softened by the gospel, reminded of forgiveness, refreshed for this task. Believe in Jesus, and because of that faith, love others. We need to have our hearts reassured that, yes, it really is that simple. The wall of books in my office can testify to the fact that there are endless pages to be written, endless gallons of ink to be spilled, infinite words to be spoken in talking about theology and doctrine and the Bible and but in the end, it all boils down to this. If you want to keep the commandments of God, the answer is simple. Believe in Jesus and love others. You do that, you are following God. As John also writes, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. I know you've heard it said, trust your heart, follow your heart. Maybe in some circumstances, but the truth is, in spiritual matters, our heart is just as sinful as the rest of us. Trust God instead. Follow God instead. Even if our heart condemns us and our conscience afflicts us, God is greater. He is the one who answers the prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." John repeats in this passage over and over again, "We know. We have confidence. We know." What is it that we know? We know love in Christ. We know He abides in us by the Spirit. We know the truth, and we are reassured. We abide in God. He abides in us. Abides, that is to say, He remains with us. He stays with us. He dwells among us. He abides and remains. That is how being a Christian is really easy. You can explain the basics in those two short phrases: believe in Jesus and love one another. It doesn't take a degree in theology to understand what it means to be a Christian. In fact, I'd say it often helps to not overcomplicate things. But being a Christian is also really hard because, well, that's all easier said than done. It's easy to understand what it means, but actually living it out day after day is a different story. Faith is not always easy to maintain. Loving others is not always easy to do when we get right down to it. John talks about that here too. We are called to love one another. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, the most central definition of Christian love is Christ himself. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. We know what love is by looking to the cross. And so Christian love is by definition self-sacrificial because we are imitating Christ's love. Now we may not have as much love as Christ to the same extent as him. After all, none of us can die for the redemption of the whole world. But it is the same type of love. Alike in quality, even if much less in quantity. The greatest extent of love a person can have is to die for others, to give up your life for someone else, as Christ did for us. Now, that is not an easy thing. There's a reason why such stories are so highly regarded, why people like that are considered heroes. War stories of a soldier who jumps on a grenade to save his buddies, or a person who donates an organ to save a stranger's life. Or someone like Mother Teresa, who gives her life in a different way, living her days in the slums to care for the sick and the suffering there. But we know most of us won't ever be put in a situation like that. Most of us won't be called to sacrifice everything for someone else. I think that's John's point with verse 17. We might not die for others as Christ did. We might not be called to such an extreme demonstration of this compassion and this selfless care. But we may frequently be called to make a smaller sacrifice, to help another person in need. We see what love means there, too. Not only in the extreme, dramatic moments of total sacrifice, but in daily life. Charitably giving to others is still a sacrifice, and I often find it's a surprisingly painful one, even in the smallest amounts. It gets back to the golden rule, to treat others the way you would want them to treat you. How is it that you would wish to be treated? If you're not prepared to die for your brother, and I understand, many of us are not. Perhaps I am not. Even if you're not prepared for that, you can at least share in this life's necessities. And so John encourages us all. Let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. Love is not a matter of nice-sounding words and phrases, of greeting cards that carry a message of affection in all sorts of flowery language, or poems or sonnets. Love is, most of all, action. You can tell your spouse and your children, "I love you," all day long, but if you don't actually treat them with care and compassion, it's going to ring hollow. In the book of James, we read much the same thing. If you tell someone, "Go and be warm, go and be fed," but then you do nothing to give them food and clothing and shelter that would make them warm and nourished, what good is it? What do those words mean? The good intentions and loving feelings aren't enough. They're good, but they don't help anyone. You have to actually carry them out, to put them into action. Actions speak louder than words. We know that well enough. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 21. He tells a parable about a father with two sons. The father tells each son, "Go out and work in my vineyard today." The first says, "No, I won't go." But then later he changes his mind, and he does. The second says, "I will go and work." But then he does not do what he said he would do. Which one really did his father's will? That's Jesus' question. The Christian faith is hard, because it cannot be just about easy statements of love and piety and belief. It includes love and faith that really change our lives. Luther said much the same thing. Our good works, our pious and our faithful living, do not contribute to our salvation one bit. But such things are the natural and the inevitable product of true faith. In fact, he put it even more bluntly than that. In looking at our good works the right way. He said, God doesn't need our good works or our charity. God doesn't need it. But our neighbor does. We're not doing it all for God, but we are doing it because of what he has already done for us. I recently heard another story of a person who spent their entire life working for the benefit of others. A woman named, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Osceola McCarty. Perhaps you've heard some of her story before. She was just up the road from here in Hattiesburg, but it was new to me. She spent most of her 91 years working hard in a laundry business, living frugally and saving the whole time. By the end of her life, she had $150,000 in the bank, which she used, just short time before her death, to set up a scholarship fund at University of South Mississippi. Why did she do that? Working hard year after year, decade after decade, and give it all for the benefit of others. Well, she was a Christian. And in an interview, she said, "I just figured the money would do them a lot more good than it would do me. I live the way I want to live, so I plan to do this." They asked her why she chose USM in particular, and she answered, "Because it's here. It's close." What a perfect example of Christian love, and who our neighbor is. I have a way to help these people out, and they're here. They're close. My neighbor is the one who's here, and who needs my help. Now, I know we are not perfect at this either. I can think of too many times I have seen an opportunity and let it slip past, a time when I should have helped another person and yet I didn't. The Christian life is so easy, so simple in theory, but it can be so hard to actually carry it out in our lives. But we do truly know love because we know Christ. When we think about these missed opportunities, if our heart condemns us for failing to do the good that we should have done, then we are reassured by John's words. God is greater than our heart. By this we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us. That's the beginning of all this. Christ's sacrifice on the cross, his laying down his life for us, is not just an example for us to follow. It is not just the highest demonstration of this love, that we are called to imitate it as best we can, but it is the way that our sins are forgiven. It is the place we look for reassurance when we do realize how short we've fallen from that ideal of total selflessness and compassionate care for those around us. It pushes us to do better, but it reassures us when we fall short. By grace, through faith, God abides in us, and we abide in him. Because of this solid foundation, we are set free. Free from fear of not doing good enough. Free from our conscience that reminds us of past failure. Free from the fear that we have to look after ourselves first instead of taking the risk to show this Christian love to others. God abides in us and we abide in him. He loved us, not just in word or in talk, but he loved us in deed and in truth as Christ laid down his life to redeem us from our sins, to give us the promise of eternity with him, and to show us here and now how to love one another. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, now and always. Amen.